Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com. The sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive, a very special edition of the show, as we are coming to you from downtown, where the tip-off at Toomer's is officially underway. The basketball action will start at 6:30, but downtown right now is ready for tip-off at Toomer's, and we are thrilled to be here at the brand new version of the War Eagle Supper Club here high atop the Graduate Hotel, downtown Auburn. I mean, what a magnificent view we have. We're here on the deck at the War Eagle Supper Club. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer.
Yeah, no, this place is tremendous. I had not been to the new War Eagle Supper Club inside, at the top, the rooftop bar at the brand new Graduate Hotel. A former site of Andrews Bookstore,
yes.
A place I think all three of us, went into at least once or twice. But no, it's very cool to be here. You know, it was my first time inside the hotel, which just opened, I think, during football season. A couple of weeks ago is when the hotel had its grand opening, and the rooftop bar here, the War Eagle Supper Club, a beautiful patio space outside. I mean, the views up here. I saw Justin getting a couple shots for social media. I mean, the view of the stadium.
It's a stone's throw from my old abode.
Yeah, I mean, you can see into Scott Bagwell's office. I mean, it's very, very impressive. And if you have not been to the new War Eagle Supper Club, tonight is a perfect opportunity if you're coming out to tip off at Toomer's, just a few steps away from what they got going on here. And again, big shout out to our friends at Bud Light for helping set all of this up.
Absolutely. Again, we'd love for you to stop by and join us. Man, this is a large area, both inside and out, but it's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. We are having a great time outside here at the War Eagle Supper Club. I said it the other day. I feel very confident in saying, Dan, that you and I are probably the first to have broadcast from the original War Eagle Supper Club, and now here at the new War Eagle Supper Club.
Yeah,
I don't know if you were legal to do so last time. I was.
As I said yesterday, I don't have to lie about my age to get in.
Right.
This
well, you
time
were working
to do the,
though.
To do
I
the
mean,
radio
you were working.
Show.
That's how.
Yeah,
that's
most of what I was doing was working.
Not every time you were there, but while we were on the air, you were.
It's no, but it's it brings back memories of that legendary old Auburn haunt on South College.
They got a couple of the signs noticed inside.
No, I think they've done a really cool job of sort of marrying the older traditions, the nostalgia.
I will say daylight in the supper club or completely different times of day.
I don't remember all the plants being this green at the old supper club, Bill. No, and I mean, but no, how gorgeous is this patio space?
It is fabulous.
It is tremendous.
This is definitely a place to be. And we're here, again, getting ready for tip-off at Toomer's, the debut for the public for Auburn basketball, both men and women. Going to take the court here in just a little while. Justin, hey, there's excitement about both of these squads.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about an Auburn men's basketball team who picked to finish second in the SEC. That's the highest since 1999. For Auburn, yeah.
I guess that does make sense.
A lot of hype. And Dan and I were talking about this yesterday. How crazy do you think this is the first time Alabama and Auburn have been 1-2 in the SEC to head into the season? Kentucky number 8 in the league.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, somebody asked me that, you know, after the season last year when Jani Broome was coming back, Mark Sears was returning to Alabama, and we were saying, well, these ought to be the top two teams in the pick, and they are. By the media and in the first poll that has come out, and yes, it's never happened before that these teams have been picked to be 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing basketball. They've been playing men's basketball in the SEC for a very long time, and we're talking about two charter members,
yep.
Right? And they've never been the pick at 1-2 in some order.
Right.
The cross-state rivals from Alabama in the SEC, and here we are, and they are. See, I mean, you. There's a good argument. I mean, I think you could make the case for Tennessee in the top two, but it's flimsy. I think. I would probably think Tennessee is 3. After Tennessee, it feels like you're backing either A&M's experience heavy lineup or you're speculating on a team like Arkansas, or even, dare I say it, Justin, Ole Miss as a team in that. In that conversation, but no, it feels with what Alabama and Auburn bring back, they should be the preseason top two teams in the SEC, and that's the way it's worked out.
Oh yeah, and as you know, talking with Bruce Pearl a couple of days ago, and just looking at the roster, Justin, it's amazing to look at the Auburn roster, and there are 10 seniors on this roster.
Yeah, there are 10 seniors on this roster. This is a team that has maxed out the fact that this is the last year of the COVID waiver,
right.
Super senior era, and I mean, this is a. It's a basketball team that has got a ton of experience. You know, last season, you talk about a team that was an analytics darling. Fantastic finish to the year in the SEC tournament. You got to remember, they went into the NCAA tournament with people talking about them as a dark horse in the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
Obviously, Chad Baker-Mazzara's ejection, the loss to Yale, all that, you know, the way Auburn was seeded, all that, you know, impacted them for sure. But you look at this team, and they returned most of that back. And I think the thing that really – I don't think held this team back was kind of, but definitely their biggest weakness for a team that was really, really good. As Auburn's backcourt last year, second fewest points per game in the SEC from guards. And so what do? They go add J.P. Pegues from Furman. They go add Miles Kelly from Georgia Tech. They return Denver Jones and Chad Baker-Mazzara, their top two players. And, oh, by the way, here's two freshmen coming in. One of them, a McDonald's All-American scoring guard in Tahad Pettiford, and another high four-star in Ja'Kai Howard that I think people are sleeping on heading this year. We don't know what his role is exactly going to be, but his skill set, he's more than just a dunker. He'll probably show off tonight how good of a dunker he is. When he gets that opportunity, but he is much more than that. And it is a well-rounded backcourt for a team that is already returning one of the best players, if not the best player in college basketball coming back. Here's a stat for you, Bill. First time ever Auburn has had a guy back-to-back first-team All-SEC preseason. First time ever. There's only been 5 ever. Ja'Nai Broome's the first one to do it in back-to-back years.
The asterisk that he mentioned yesterday, now they didn't start doing the preseason first-team All-Conference until like the
88?
80s. So Chuck
didn't get it, but
Barkley probably would have.
Charles would have been.
Barkley probably would have, but this is the first time it's ever actually happened. And I keep thinking, even though Auburn brings back as much as they do, And you look at the KenPom top 10, you know, Auburn probably returns as much experience as any of those teams. The places that are new and different, how does J.P. Pegues fit in mm-hmm. on a team with so many guys who feel like they have clearly defined roles and know where they want the ball and know how they like their shot? Where do the minutes at the 4 go?
4, absolutely. 1 and 4, I think there are plenty of options at both. But there are ways that would it be easier for it to transition. So,
what's your sense of how Pegues is fitting in so far? I have been surprised by how much talk of Denver as the point guard there has been over the last few weeks or so, and I wonder how much of that is genuinely Denver is ready to be the point guard in high leverage minutes for this team, and how much of it is they're. Almost a Jedi motivational tactic for J.P. Pegues.
Yeah, I think you need to have multiple options at point guard. So I think you're going to see Denver Jones push J.P. Pegues. And, you know, we got to remember, J.P. Pegues is new to this. Like, it may take him a little while to really get going as the floor general for this offense. But I think Denver Jones makes a ton of sense as a point guard option for this team. You're talking about a scenario where you've got a veteran that's played a lot of basketball, that's played some point guard in the past. That was something they pointed out this week at Media Days. I was asking JP, I was asking Denver about his experience at point guard and moving there. He said, hey, I played some point guard at FIU my first season. So it's not completely new to him. He's having to get back into the groove of it. But you got a guy who's played a lot of basketball, has a low turnover rate, and is just good at getting, you know, knowing what to do in this offense. I think it's something where J.P. Pegues can't play all 40 minutes of point guard. Tahad Pettiford might not be a guy you want to give a ton of point guard minutes to, especially if his best attributes are off the ball. So why not put Denver Jones out there? It'd also be an easy way to get Denver on the floor some more, knowing that you still have Chad Baker-Mazzara and Miles Kelly that you want to play, and you know potentially a guy like a Ja'Kai Howard.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things. I mean with the obvious talent that Miles Kelly has coming in here, and you know CBM is a guy that he's a preseason third team All Conference guy. So there's talent there at the wings, and that's Denver being able to slide there to the point is a way for them to be on the court at the same time and not just having to, you know, split minutes.
This is going to be a super versatile lineup and a versatile rotation. You know, last season we saw this Auburn basketball team basically run it two deep at every spot with Lior Berman being that 11th man who could kind of float in multiple spots. But you knew who was going to be the point. You knew who was going to play two, three, four, five. Now it's like, okay, Denver Jones at one or a two. You got some guys who are twos and threes. You got some guys who can play four and five. You got some guys who can play three and four. You know, the one of the best strengths, I think, about Bruce Pearl as a coach and one of the best strengths about this team in general is their depth and their balance make them very matchup proof. They're very scout heavy. This is a team that builds out a game plan. Like, no disrespect to Alabama. They're an awesome basketball team. Alabama knows how they want to win, and they're going to run that system, and they're going to run their style a ton, and they're going to try to win that way. Auburn, on the other hand, is if you're good at this and if you're not good at this, we're going to craft something to take advantage of that. And I think they're going to be able to do that a lot more effectively, even though they did it greatly last year. You talk about the scouting, you talk about the continuity on the assistant coach staff that Bruce Pearl trusts those guys. I mean, it's one of his strengths as a coach is, like, find a bunch of ways to win with your personnel. And this personnel, with all the versatility it's got, I think it's going to make it even easier to do so.
Ferg voted at Media Days for the first-team All-Conference, and we were talking about it a little bit on the show yesterday on the Observer podcast. We would have four of the same.
Yes.
Because
my fifth one.
Jani, Sears, Wade Taylor, and
Josh Hubbard.
And Noah.
No, Hubbard didn't make it.
Ziegler.
No, I'm just saying, like, yes. I thought we were talking about the ones I have.
The four that I think we agreed on, right, were. Or did you have Ziegler, or did you not?
You
didn't have Ziegler.
Not on my first team. He was on my second team.
Yeah, I think I'd have been okay with Hubbard or John L. Davis instead of Ziegler. I think John L. Davis is going to have a huge season in that system.
And I'm one of those guys that, like, I did not want to put four guards in Jani out there. So I had Kyle Murray Boyles from South Carolina because he was phenomenal last season.
Right.
I think he's definitely underrated. But, yeah, you couldn't go wrong with any of those guys. Ja'Kai Ziegler obviously makes sense. Wade Taylor.
Clayton gets the nod from Florida.
That one was the one where he's a second-team guy for me. But, yeah, I mean, I just think and I picked preseason. I had my preseason vote Auburn at number one and Jani Broome preseason play of the year. And it's not just, you know, it's not because I cover the team, but I look at it from this perspective. Tennessee and Alabama. Oh, well, let's just look at Alabama right now. Awesome offense. I have questions about their defense like I had questions about their defense last season. Same thing with Mark Sears. Mark Sears is a phenomenal basketball player, but does he impact the game on both ends of the floor as much as Jani Broome does? I don't think so. And so that's where I like Auburn in the preseason, why I like Broome in the preseason, because it's that balance of offense and defense. We'll see. I mean, we've seen Alabama under Nate Oates have some phenomenal defenses. That one's a little bit more to be determined, you know, based on what they're bringing back this year. And no disrespect to Sears, dude's one of the best college guards I've seen in a very long time. It's just defensively, I mean, the amount of impact that Jani Broome brings, scorer, rebounder, defender. I mean, it's that's why people are talking about him like one of the best players in the country.
And then Auburn really has more players coming back that play the kind of defense that you know you're going to need, that Bruce Pearl expects. Alabama's got some very highly touted pieces coming in as well, but you got to see how all those things, you know, fit together.
And as much as Sears coming back fuels the hype towards Alabama. And I think CBS Sports said, you know, they have Sears as the preseason national player of the year. I get that. I think the steps Nelson took, especially in the NCAA tournament, play a big role in the optimism for Alabama this year too.
Because
I mean, there are multiple NCAA tournament games that it feels like Alabama either doesn't win or they would have had a much harder time winning if they don't get those kind of performances from Grant Nelson.
Oh, yeah,
and bringing him back along with Sears, I think, is a big reason for the optimism. The debate as to, I mean, does Auburn bring back a second player as impactful as Sears or Nelson? It's debatable, but I think Auburn likes everybody they bring back. And you noticed, I mean, not having Chad Baker-Mazzara made a pretty big impact in the NCAA tournament last year.
Well, I mean, Chad's the other guy on the all-conference team, and then there's Denver, I mean, who I thought down the stretch
was
really getting better and better.
If we're playing NBA Jam, I think Alabama has you beat, but I think if you're going one through five, I have a hard time thinking that Auburn doesn't have one of the best teams in the country. And on top of that, I think 1 through 10, nobody's at that level. I mean, nobody plays this deep. Nobody plays this balanced. We knew that last season. You bring a lot of that back this year and round out some of your weak spots. There's plenty of reason why this team is going to be as highly touted. And also, it's going to be really interesting to see what this team does in this non-conference schedule because of how tough it is. Bruce Pearl said it this week. What are we going to do when we reach some adversity? Because it's going to happen. I think the best example of that is you look at KenPom, preseason number 3 for Auburn, projects them to win the SEC. 8 regular season losses is the projection for Auburn. That'd be more than they've had in any of their good years under Bruce Pearl. That ought to tell you how good this schedule is.
Played a schedule this tough. All right, we're just underway. Once again, coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club, high atop the Graduate here downtown, getting ready for tip-off at Toomer's. Again, all the basketball action gets underway at around 6:30. So love for you to stop by and join us. If you can't make it out, give us a call. Same number, the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
Yeah, we have Drew back in the studio, and he will he'll let us know when we got someone hanging on. But yeah, you can text us 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast.
So come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
Born and raised in Lee.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, and we're coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here downtown at the top of the Graduate Hotel.
How weird is it to say we're doing the show from the War Eagle Supper Club? And yet here we are.
It is.
At the War Eagle Supper
Club. It's great. It's great to be able to do that again. Probably a half dozen times, usually before some big games, Iron Bowls, normally.
Yeah, we did the Gorilla post-game show from there one time during the – you know what? I want to say the post-game show for the Auburn-Tennessee game in 04, the road game. I have a memory of watching that one along with the real post-game show crew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the 34-3, the Junior Rose Green interception game.
Ronnie Brown running over.
Muscle Shoals. No, Jason – Jason Allen?
Jason Allen.
I think it was the name. The safety for Tennessee, who was an Alabama native himself. But no, that 20 years ago, I want to say I watched the Auburn-Tennessee victory. A very important road win for that coaching staff. And how appropriate is it this week with what could be a very important road win for this coaching staff?
It's a very needed – it would be a very needed win, Justin. Yeah. I mean, here we are at the about to start the second half of the season, a disappointing first half. Auburn statistically is better than they were a year ago, but their record is not. And that's what matters. And Auburn, I mean, dearly needs to get a win.
They need to take one of these next two at Missouri, at Kentucky, at minimum. You take both of them, you'll take it and run with it. But, like, you need to take one of these two. It is really interesting, this matchup, for a number of reasons with Auburn taking on Missouri. But, yeah, I mean, this is
a team that is coming off an off week. Missouri's done a lot of traveling here recently. You should be the fresher team. You had an extra week to prepare. You need to go make that count in this game, you know. I think it's, you know, Dan and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, it would be one thing if, like, you just roll out and say, okay, Missouri beat you. They just played better football than you on that day. Auburn can't keep shooting themselves in the foot and making the mistakes, especially coming off an off week. Because last year, Auburn comes off an off week and looks and just no-shows at LSU.
Right.
And LSU was LSU, but still, like, you need to be a team that took this off week and took advantage of it.
No, a second consecutive year where Auburn is lackluster coming out of the bye week. I think then last year isn't a fluke, and last year isn't just about Jaden Daniels being an unstoppable force. Last year becomes a question of,
well, you wonder, you know,
it becomes a question of preparation.
Why aren't you getting something accomplished during this time?
Sure.
Now
sure.
It is odd that it was a short week last week because it was fall break on campus, so they could only practice a couple of times. But still, they've got that time to get everybody healthy. It looks like this is going to be a pretty healthy Auburn team going to Columbia.
Yeah, and Freeze said that even though they only practiced a couple times, they got the game plan in
right.
early. So, I mean, you do have that extra prep time. You go out there and take advantage of it. And this Missouri team is very interesting because there are some areas where I think Auburn can look back to 2 weeks ago when A&M completely stomped Missouri and take some lessons from that game. Missouri was – I mean, A&M was a team that was struggling on offense, struggling to finish drives, struggling to score. They have a phenomenal game against Missouri, and I think defensively the big thing there for them is they got after Brady Cook. I mean, ton of pressures in that game, forced a turnover, got a lot of sacks, got a lot of hits on him. That's the other thing, like with this Auburn game, I think this matchup comes down to it's got to be like, you know, Auburn, you're the traditional charter SEC member. Missouri's the upstart former Big 12. They still like to do a lot of that, you know, razzle-dazzle, you know, play out in space and speed kind of guy. This needs to be an Auburn football game where they go win it at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Offensively and defensively. Create lanes for your running game to go. A&M ran for a ton.
Oh, they did. They did.
A ton against Missouri.
Missouri looks like they're a really good defense.
Yes.
But then you look at what they've done against Power 5 schools.
If you throw the lumber at them, you can have an impact. And then, on, like I said, on defensively, the last thing that this young Auburn secondary, the corners especially, need is time for Theo Weiss and Luther Burden to get open. So get after him at quarterback, and you'll have a chance. I mean, there's a reason why this game's only a 4 or 5 point spread, despite the fact that there's a big gap. There's a 3-game gap in the records. I think it's because what we have seen from Auburn, you could see how it could get better, and what we've seen from Missouri, you have to question against quality competition.
Well, Missouri has had two close games and a blowout loss against the three small schools that they played, and I mean, they're a 5-1 team that could be 3-3.
It seems
Auburn's a 2-4 team that feels like it should be better than that.
It seems very easy for a layman, somebody who hasn't been watching a ton of college football this year, the casual better, if you will, to look at this game and think Missouri's 5-1. They're in the top 25. They're at home.
Yeah, they should be
a multiple touchdown favorite. It's a gift that it's just 3 points or 4 points or whatever. And I think that sort of thinking is why they build casinos potentially.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, and we'll see. But as we were saying, doesn't feel like there's a ton of daylight between these two teams, especially if you isolate just games against major conference opposition. If you throw out Missouri's 3 one-sided wins over mid-majors.
Yeah.
That they had this season. If you just look at what they've done against Boston College, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M, then suddenly it doesn't. I mean, they don't necessarily have the resume of a preseason top 10 team. They haven't played like that to this point in the season.
And let's be clear, Auburn's got to play better football than they have in the first half of the season to beat a team like Missouri away from home. But the opportunity is there for this team. You're off the off week. You should be fresher. You should be healthier. You're playing against a team that has struggled against quality competition. They don't have a talent advantage over you. This isn't like playing Georgia away from home.
No.
This is playing Missouri. So the opportunity is there. Auburn plays good, clean, sound football, which they haven't really done this season. But if they do that away from home and play like this team is capable of playing to their talent level, they will have a shot to walk out of Columbia with a win.
We did some picks to click, some numbers or points of emphasis on the podcast yesterday. Is there a number of Let me ask you this, Bill. Is there a number of rushing yards where you feel like if Missouri hits that number, it's probably a Missouri victory?
Missouri hits 150, I think Auburn's in.
That's exactly the number I had.
I went to 175. I think
150.
But I think, you know, I mean, any more, any number considerably north of that is probably trouble for the Auburn defense, just like when we were saying with Arkansas. You know, you probably need to hold them to under 150, 175 to feel good. Arkansas hit that number in a road victory.
I'll ask you one, Bill. What number of Jarquez Hunter touches do you think if Auburn hits that number, you're like, oh, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign.
It needs to be around 20.
Yeah,
I agree.
Needs
to be around 20. I mean,
it's been about 13 or 14.
I don't care if it's a couple of passes in there as well, but
exactly.
I mean, it needs to be around 20.
And if it were, as I said on the show, if it were 15 and it was in service of
– oh, if it's a 15 and you're up three scores.
No. What I was going to say,
I could see where Les could be all right.
If it's 15 and another 10 or 12 are going to Alston and Cobb,
sure,
that's different.
Yeah.
I think that's different as far as emphasizing the running back. But when it's – if it's 15
right.
and that's 15 of the 17 touches total that the running backs have, that feels like it's going to be a problem.
Well, if it's 15 of the 25 rushing attempts that Auburn has or something.
And how many of those are Peyton
Thorne? Then you're in trouble.
How many of those?
I don't care how many of them are Peyton.
Oh, I think so. I think
if you only run the ball 25 times, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you need it to be more. And you go back to that A&M game, A&M Missouri. What A&M did a really good job of with Connor Bazelak, or is it not Bazelak?
It's Brady Cook.
No, the yeah.
A&M. Wegman?
Wegman, yeah. Connor Wegman. I don't know why Bazelak's the old Missouri guy. With Connor Wegman, you go back and look at that game, really high completion percentage for Wegman in that game for an offense that had struggled moving the ball through the air. I think they did a lot of that simple stuff, softened it up against this Missouri defense. Like, get some easy stuff there for Peyton Thorne. Get some stuff to kind of get him in the flow. Get those young receivers in a flow,
yeah,
too. They don't all have to be deep shots. They don't all have to – Cam Coleman can catch a drag route. I've seen it happen.
Well, that's the thing that's been a little perplexing to me is it seems like that the offense, the passing game has become more dependent on deep shots.
Yeah, unless you're Keandre Lambert-Smith. And then Keandre Lambert-Smith gets I think Auburn can do a better job of, you know, again, that's what you do in the off week. You self-scout and you try to figure out how to emphasize your talent the best way.
Passing game's probably too dependent on Keandre Lambert-Smith right now. That was a question I had for Coach Freeze. I mean, Keandre had –
Seven targets, seven catches.
Seven catches, and then how many total catches from the receiver position outside of Lambert Smith in the Georgia game?
What was the total? Like 14?
Not even
all the receivers.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, getting the other ones involved. Again, sort of disappointed, not, you know, at the lack of, and I don't know how much of it is on the coaches and how much of it's on the players themselves, but you thought both Cam and Perry, I think, would be bigger yard after the catch threats, you know, guys who, you know, catch and run sort of threats, and there hasn't been a ton of that in the offense so far. And I'd love to see, you know, even a screen or two to one of those guys to get him involved, right? I mean, I'd love to see Perry Thompson, you know, get the chance to, get the chance to make a play.
Yeah, you're right.
He was the offensive player. And we asked Jason yesterday, Justin, you know, who were guys who offensive personnel who could see their role change as far as the second half of the year versus the first half of the year. Perry Thompson's probably near the top of the list, and understandably so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, the more you can get those freshman receivers involved in a variety of ways, the better.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join us either here at the War Eagle Supper Club. Good crowd coming.
Seeing
in.
Some familiar faces.
Oh, yeah,
it is beautiful.
It is. I mean, not a cloud in the sky. It's a great day to be here in downtown Auburn, getting ready for tip off at Toomer's. Love for you to join us. Give us a call, though, if you're on the way or can't make it in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar.
Of course, we're also presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, sponsor the text box, 334-564-1840. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your podcast.
Don't forget, David Pascal is going to join us at 5:05, but till then, phone lines are open. Stop on by and see us or give us a call here on the Thursday Drive.
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Very special show today as we're coming to you from downtown. We are at the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate. I mean, gorgeous new digs here. This is really, really nice. First time I've been out here, and really appreciate it. And we're here. It took more than Dan's sweet talking to get us here.
Although that played a crucial role.
Well, I know it did.
Make sure everyone knows.
But we've got to let folks know who, you know.
Yeah, no. When we were at a Bunkers a couple weeks ago, and talking about the Tiger tailgate, some other things going on, and we were thrilled to welcome in our friend Haley Hall from Bud Light, and she is with us.
Hey guys,
once again,
me.
Haley, it's great to have you on. How are you? And thanks for having us here at the War Eagle Supper Club.
Yeah, I'm doing great. We're super excited to be here, obviously, through Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, our wonderful sponsors. Great views. We have amazing events coming up. And this weekend, Tip Off at Tumors is obviously tonight, which we're super excited about. And we get, honestly, we have like one of the best views in the house for it.
No, I mean, you're not kidding.
We can already hear a little bit of the music from down there, and they're going to get going at 6:30 with the show, and then Cole Swindell takes the stage.
Mm-hmm.
After that, Michelob Ultra presenting sponsor for Tip Off at Tumors, this is an incredible spot to take in downtown Auburn here, the War Eagle Supper Club, and of course they've got plenty of Bud Light available for people.
Yes,
who want to come check out.
They've been gracious hosts. They've been doing some good things here at the hotel. I mean, just they're newly open. Their upstairs is newly open. If you haven't come and check it out yet, please come and check it out. Their cocktail program is amazing. They've been really great partners with us.
Busy month for you guys at Bud Light. You got Oktoberfest. You got Halloween stuff. What do people need to know about?
We thought October was going to be slow, but it is in fact not slow.
It's actually just
because they weren't home games.
Yeah, it's a good thing for you guys that you're not having to work in Saturday home games on top of that, because you got stuff going on the weekend anyway.
We got stuff. We got Tip Off at Tumors tonight. We have Oktoberfest this Saturday, which is going to be at the Big Red Barn. We have Halloween festivities coming up, obviously, toward the end of the month. Bunkers is actually throwing a big Halloween party on the 26th, and lots of promos, lots of things. And then, obviously, we get kicked back up with Auburn football November 2nd, which we're very excited about.
Tiger tailgate will be, I mean, you'll have that going on with all the cool stuff there in the Plainsman Park parking lot.
Yes, we'll still be doing our cornhole tournament where you can win a VIP tailgate for $8. All the cold beer that you can drink over there, front row action to Tiger Walk. It's a great location.
And speaking of, I mean, we're here mostly in the outdoor patio section, but they got some screens set up over there. Wouldn't be a bad place.
Really cool, would not be a bad place
to take in the big game.
Game from here, because our Jumbotron is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch it from here.
No, that is incredible. The views of all different parts of campus. It's a really special place. Glad we can be here broadcasting. Like Bill was saying, you know, we were at the original, and now to be here at the brand new War Eagle Supper Club in downtown Auburn, courtesy of Bud Light. It's a blast, Haley.
Yeah, I know. When you talk about the old Supper Club, it tends to age most people because they've been closed for a while, but they actually brought in some really cool elements from the original Supper Club. Yeah, if you go to their back room, they have like the original Simpsons poster, which is signed by all the really cool bands that actually played at Supper Club over the years, which is really neat. They brought in some of the aesthetic. We just got to track down that shot bus.
We're working on it. We've got our best people, you know, tracking that thing down. But then in the patio space too. I mean, which I don't remember a patio space quite like this
there hasn't been a patio space like this in Auburn.
This
is fabulous.
And Auburn's just growing. You know, it's really exciting. Like, obviously, we love partnering with all of our events and all of our wonderful restaurants and accounts. But Auburn's been crushing it.
So Oktoberfest this Saturday at the Big Red
Barn. We got a bunch of beers out there, everything from, you know, our AB brands, Ultra, everything, but we're really featuring a lot of our Oktoberfest crafts, which is what the event's all about.
Folks can follow on social media to stay on top of different things you've got going on here in town, Bud Light related events.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, some Halloween stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks as well before you're back at Plainsman Park. the weekend of the Vanderbilt game.
I know, and just so everybody knows, too, every Thursday we do promos at Sky Bar for our cornhole tournament. We talk about what we're actually doing at the tailgate, and you can also win some really cool prizes, bar tabs. Sky Bar is one of our partners as well, which I think we're going to do a rooftop read there soon.
We should do one. Maybe we either for Halloween, or we're going to do one in November. We're definitely going to be with our friends at
Good
Sky
deal.
Bar next door to the Wargle Supper.
That's mm-hmm. it. Here, all right,
downtown. It's really special. And tip off at Tumors tonight, presented
yes.
by Michelob Ultra.
Yes.
You'll have it's an entertainment district.
I hear Bruce Pearl's going to be there.
I believe the coaching staff.
He better be.
Yeah, that's the point. But
maybe.
Entertainment district event, right?
Yes.
So folks can walk around and enjoy
a beverage. Open container, go grab yourself a beer from one of your favorite restaurants downtown and enjoy the show. It should be quite the event.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a blast. Haley, thanks again.
Yeah.
We really appreciate the support and allowing us to be able to be here and be a part of all this.
You guys. This has been it's been wonderful.
Absolutely. Haley Hall from Bud Light. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for having us here at the Supper Club.
Thank you guys.
All right, we will continue here on the Thursday Drive. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer with us as well. Don't forget, coming up at 5:05, we're going to talk with David Paschal from Chattanooga, get his thoughts from around the Southeastern Conference and much more. But in the meantime, love for you to join in. You can give us a call if you can't make it up here, and a good crowd is gathering here at the War Eagle Supper Club, where we're broadcasting this afternoon till 6 o'clock. Again, you come up here, relax a little bit. There may be some folks that want to hang around actually watch from here, but then head on down for the basketball action. It starts at around 6:30.
Yeah, I would say whether or not you're actually going to tip off at Tumors, if you're in the downtown area,
look at the crowd gathering on the end toward Tumors Corner.
Ferg, check out see if you can get a shot of the view that the people on that side of the patio have of the stage, because it's filling up. It's filling up on that side of the patio.
It's about to be a half dozen deep.
Yeah,
I'm looking to get a good.
I'm curious to see how good the view is from the from that side of the stage and the different areas.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in either here at the War Eagle Supper Club downtown atop the Graduate, or give us a call 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
Hey, this is Jacob Gordon.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, coming to you from the War Eagle Supper Club here high atop the Graduate. And, you heard Haley talking about their cocktails. They have they've come up with some very special concoctions.
They're very proud of their cocktail menu, understandably so. And they've got some really cool stuff here on the
we have just been shown the Leche Tigre.
Leche e Tigre. Leche e Tigre.
Yeah, well,
am I in there?
It used to be pronounced like a long A. Sort of
leche.
Leche.
Leche. Leche.
Leche.
Like Trace. Like, no, I mean, I know milk from the Trace Leche.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, it's tiger milk.
And this Leche e Tigre.
Yes.
Looks absolutely delicious. Bill, a brief sample.
Even more than looks.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, looks
it's very refreshing.
Looks tremendous. And we were talking with the folks here.
Much safer than trying to milk a tiger.
Yeah. From experience. That's why you're not allowed to go.
Not experience. I'm just telling you.
That's why you're not welcome. You're not welcome in Baton Rouge anymore.
Yeah. No. Or here. I mean, if you think about it, no.
Aubie. No. They have an outstanding drink menu here, among other things. The food menu too. I mean, they've got on top of the we've been talking about the view, we've been talking about the atmosphere, but some really cool stuff on the menu as well. So really check out the Supper Club here in the fifth floor of the Graduate.
All right, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar, and Brett is up first. Hey, Brett.
Hey guys, Dan, how we looking?
I got to tell you, man, proud of Walker Buehler. Proud of the way he pitched last night.
He looked like the old Walker Buehler last night.
I mean, he dipped into
I got a question. They said that Ohtani homer went like 410. It looked like it went at least 610.
It looked like it went 410 miles. All right, that thing looked.
I wasn't
like,
watching by then.
Ohtani looked like he hit one to the moon last night, and it was a tense game until those at bats.
Yeah,
you know, the Dodgers, the bottom of the Dodgers lineup getting on base, putting the pressure on, and then Ohtani knocking the home run to make it 7-0. Muncy adding a little distance as well, but mm-hmm. now you got Yam. Not only
I told you the pressure was on the Mets last night.
Yes.
I felt the Dodgers win the series if they won last night. I figured they'd probably win it even if they didn't.
The pressure was on the Mets for two different reasons. Not only did you think, you know, that this was an opportunity to take an advantage in the series with Flaherty and Yamamoto still to come, but if they had gotten to Walker Buehler, Dave Roberts would have had to go to the bullpen. Instead, Roberts able to save the bullpen for games 4 and 5 with Yamamoto and Flaherty potentially able to give. We'll see what kind of innings they get, but it does feel like advantage Dodgers maybe considerable advantage Dodgers after picking up the win last night.
Well, Dan, I think very soon Mookie Betts is going to start hitting, but I actually expect him to explode here pretty soon because he just hasn't been getting it done.
You know what else? I mean, I love the way Muncy hits against good pitching. He is such a tough out. He does not swing at balls out of the strike zone, and he knocked one to the moon last night too.
Yeah. Well, tell me who y'all think is going to get the assignment to cover Luke Burden.
I mean, I would think they're going to start with Kay and Lee. Because the other options are.
He's the most proven guy that they have.
Although
at
maybe
corner.
Jay, I don't know if Jay Crawford has outperformed Canley the last couple weeks. I don't know.
Here's
the
other thing
question.
Too, Brett, is that Missouri's got another receiver who has numbers just as good as Luther Burden is this year in Theo E. So like, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck to cover those guys.
Was he at State last year?
He was at Oklahoma a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's right. Because Auburn was interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great evening.
Appreciate it, Brett. Yeah, it's going to be – I mean, as you said, I mean, Auburn needs to get after Brady Cook so that he doesn't have time. Those guys are extremely dangerous, and they're big play guys.
Yeah, Burden's got 5 touchdowns. Weiss only has 1, but they're almost identical in catches and yards this year. I mean, it's as good of a 1-2 punch as you're going to find anywhere in the SEC at the wide receiver spot. So it's going to be all hands on deck back there. But like you said, like, You gotta get pressure on Brady Cook because if he has time, those guys are gonna get open. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you give them enough time, they're gonna come free at some point. They're too good. They're too fast. They're too skilled, not to. So this has got to be a big Keldrick Falk game. I said it's got to be a big Jalen McLeod game, especially with the amount that they're playing DeMarcus Riddick and more of that spiral and letting Jalen McLeod get to pin his ears back and go be a pass rusher. I think is going to be a big. If Auburn can really tap into that in the second half of the season, it could go a long way. I think it could be huge in this particular matchup.
Well, what's your sense of? Do we need to take a break? Are we good for the rest?
No,
of
we're
the,
good.
We're good. Okay,
we're good.
So,
we got a couple of minutes.
What's your sense of how Kay and Jay Crawford have held up in coverage the last couple of weeks and the level of satisfaction Auburn has with? I mean, granted, these are a pair of young players you got there,
I think Auburn can't feel bad at all about what they've gotten from those two corners this year.
No, I agree.
I believe it's something crazy this year. Like, I had the stat earlier this week. Jay Crawford, according to Pro Football Focus, I'll look it up while here, but it's like his yards when targeted this year is just extremely, extremely low. I think Kane Lee's going to draw some tough matchups. They're not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a really good spot. Here you go. Kane Lee, 11 for 21 when targeted this year. Completed only 11 of 21 pass attempts. Quarterback rating of 59.6.
Wow.
Which is really good.
That is good.
Jay Crawford, he's had 84 coverage opportunities, or 84 coverage snaps this year. Only been targeted 6 times for a grand total of 4 yards.
You figure that sooner or later somebody's gonna want to test these guys and, and just see. And
with those two, with those two receivers, the answer might be sooner.
Yes, I would think very soon.
Yeah, I would think. I would think Saturday is a big test for both of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Auburn's. I think Auburn's safety play. Caleb Harris played as much as he had. Bug Thompson has been as promised this year. Some of Auburn's transfers they got coming in this year have not panned out, which is. That's the portal.
Sure.
That's what's going to happen.
But, I mean, you look at that, Keandre on offense, Bug on defense.
The veterans from really good programs.
From Power 5 schools.
From teams that won double-digit games last
right.
year. The ones you expected to be great right away or have had a chance to be great right away have definitely done that. It's the other rotational pieces and some other guys that you know, haven't been as stellar. But, you know, I think – that combo of Bug, and Caleb Harris over the top. Sylvester Smith playing some more as well. It's gonna be interesting to see. Keontae Scott is now he is a nickel. He is not playing outside corner anymore. So now you're getting to a point where you may look at Kinsley Faustin as a guy that plays on the outside. J.C. Hart's gonna continue to get some snaps. Like it's true sophomores, redshirt freshmen, and freshmen. It's a lot of first and second year guys at that corner spot. It's gonna be a really really big test for him. So again. It has to be Auburn helping those guys out as much as possible. Good news is, Kendrick Fox, one of the best pass rushers in the entire country right now, and Jalen McLeod is. When Jalen McLeod gets in a groove and he's able to rush the passer consistently, he's been really effective this year.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, along with Bill and Dan, as we come to the end of hour number one here at the War Eagle Supper Club atop the Graduate downtown. A beautiful day. Perfect day for tip off at Toomer's. Stop by and join us if you can.
Yeah, y'all are getting set up right here. I mean, there was y'all talked about the Leche de Tigre
yep.
earlier, but it's more than that now.
Oh no, I've got to go find out exactly what it is. I'm giving, you know, we've let our friends and family.
I would like
sample some.
I would like one Hechicero, please.
All right, we're back with hour number two here on the Thursday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Thursday Drive on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. I mean, not a cloud in the sky. We're downtown in downtown Auburn, getting ready for tip-off at Toomer's, which is actually going on, but the basketball will start in about an hour and a half. Just a deep post from where we are right now, or a deep three, I guess, a mid-court.
This is a
mid-court three.
It's a
Jared Harper three.
Yeah, I was gonna say for this team, it's a Miles Kelly three-point attempt.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
I mean, saw I've just been able to see a bit of one practice and really liked what I saw. You've seen a good bit of the practice.
Yeah.
Everybody is just gushing about what he brings and the addition of him. Auburn was needing somebody else to come in and be a proficient three-point shooter, and he sure looks like he is.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they have three proven off-ball scorers is something. I mean, when was the last time Auburn had that? You know, three guys that have done it at this level. So, yeah, Kelly's a guy that I think is going to be a household name in the SEC by the end of the year. I mean, this is a dude who carried Georgia Tech to some big wins last season, especially ones away from home. I tell you one thing, that dude ain't going to be rattled by Cameron because he went to Cameron last year and almost pulled off a win and beat him
right.
in Atlanta. So, I mean, this is – it's going to be a lot of fun to see. I think one of the quotes of the weekend – or the week, sorry, SEC Media Days Jani Broome said, yeah, we call him Steph Curry sometimes at practice, not because of his three-point shooting ability, although it's very good, how he moves off the ball, how he is just a menace at just getting open. And, I mean, that's exactly what you want, especially if you're an Auburn team that wants more production out of their wings this year.
Yeah, so tip-off at Toomer's here. We're at the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate. What a beautiful setup this view. Is. It really is. I mean, this is a gorgeous place, but the view is phenomenal of downtown Auburn.
I could see this
see
becoming
the stadium, Samford. I mean, just
I could see this becoming a popular spot for graduation-related photos or just Auburn photo ops in general.
Because the nest is right here.
Yeah, the view of the skyline that they've been able to establish here. The patio in general, it's big, it's spacious, it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're here as the sun's going down. I imagine when they get some of these lights on and the sun is down, it's going to look and feel amazing as well. The inside is impressive. They've done a great job marrying the
the traditions. Bought some of the old in with the new.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool thing they've done here. You know, it's not all nostalgia. It's also very modern, very contemporary. But they have some nostalgic flourishes and yeah, they're very proud of their menu. They're very proud of their cocktail menu. And,
very impressive cocktail
and
menu.
And, yeah, we're happy to be here. Hope we get to come back. And want to say
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, hope they'll let us back sometime.
Want to say thanks again to Bud Light for helping set this up.
I'll try not to do anything to get y'all thrown out. How about that?
Well, you do your part, Justin. I don't know about us being able to do ours. Let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, which is just next door here. And welcome in our good friend from the Chattanooga Times Free Press and WGOW in Chattanooga. That is David Pascal. No, David, it's not a time warp. We are at the War Eagle Supper Club, but it's the new one here downtown. How are you doing?
I was about to say, it sounds like y'all are in a different establishment or a new establishment from when I walked out of there in 1989.
Yeah, it's more than a slight bit of difference, although they have brought some of the nostalgia, some of the memories are here, but, man, it's cool. I mean, it's brand new. It's here in the Graduate, which is where Anders used to be, and we're here on the fifth floor looking out over downtown Auburn. Got tip-off at Toomer's coming up tonight. There's a huge crowd already gathering for that, the excitement for Auburn basketball, and we're also ready to see what happens here in the second half of the football season for the Auburn football team.
All right, you're saying that you're in the old Anders. When I was there, it was obviously Anders and J&M were the two prominent bookstores.
Right.
Where are the prominent bookstores now?
All right, bookstores? What's a bookstore?
Yeah,
J&M's still there. they mostly
souvenirs.
Sell souvenirs. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that anybody uses books much anymore.
Well, I mean, gift shops do. I mean, you could also get your Auburn sweatshirts there.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're a couple of avid readers, but I don't know if it's not as widespread as it used to be. David, this feels like. Do you want to recap the previous weekend first?
Quick thoughts on last week.
I mean, I thought there were some really interesting games, you know, around the conference. You were there in Knoxville, right, for Florida Tennessee.
Correct. I think, you know, one of the biggest stories to me last weekend was just the fact that, and you've got Alabama, Tennessee that we'll obviously get into, but if you look at the path that they've traveled, they're almost identical. I mean, they're both 5-1, 2-1 in the league. But, you know, Alabama had that monster win over Georgia. Tennessee had that huge win at Oklahoma, spoiling Oklahoma's SEC debut. You know, we've learned since that Oklahoma's obviously struggling offensively. I think they're 125th in the country. But then you had Tennessee and Alabama both lose these shocking games, you know, on the same day, Bama to Vandy and Tennessee at Arkansas. And last week was supposed to be their big bounce-back game.
Yeah.
And both of them were, like, really, really lucky to win. I mean, both of them were lucky to win.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I mean, South Carolina had couple of opportunities there late. I mean, really, I thought mismanaged the clock after they recovered the onside kick. And, you know, Florida, a team that looked, like they were going nowhere early in the season. I mean, they're competing much better lately. And now going to have to do it the rest of the year without Graham Mertz.
Yeah, and I think that's a difficult thing because, I mean, that was actually a rotation that was working. I mean, Lagway's a talented guy. And I'm hearing some people say, you know, maybe this works out better because of Olagwa's talent. But, you know, there's really, from my understanding, there's really not much behind him. You got to keep Lagway healthy. But, you know, Montrell Johnson's questionable for this week's game against Kentucky. Yeah, that was a game that if you're Florida, you're just absolutely nauseous because, I mean, it was 3-0 at halftime, but it could have been 17 or even 20-0 at halftime. And they only had those 3 points to show for it. You know, Tennessee now has gone two consecutive games getting shut out in the first half, and that had never happened before under Heupel, and now it's happened twice in a row. So, you know, a very shaky Tennessee-Alabama game on both sides. But, yeah, if you're Florida, you know, that Florida-Kentucky game this week, I mean, they're like five SEC games this week that could go either way. I mean, you talk about coin flips, the SEC this week has a bunch of them.
Yeah, I believe most of the games are, you know, it's a touchdown or less as far as the spread's concerned.
I mean, I put Auburn-Missouri in that category, even though, you know, Missouri's ranked and at home. I mean, I think Auburn keeps that one close. The LSU-Arkansas game, they've actually played the last 4 years have all come down to 3 points. The LSU's won three of them. You know, Arkansas, can they use that Tennessee game to their benefit? I mean, they had lost 11 of 12 regular season games by a single possession until they beat Tennessee. So does that finally turn the tide a little bit for them, and can they start winning some close ones? Because that's been an issue under Pittman.
David, I was going to ask you about that Tennessee offense, and I guess Alabama's defense as well. In this matchup, I don't know how many of us heading into the year thought Tennessee's offense would struggle the way it has, and Alabama's defense would struggle the way it has, even though we all knew it was the end of the Saban era. But especially this Tennessee offense, can you kind of put your finger on what's kind of gone wrong? Because I know they were blowing out teams early in the season, and it was, the competition was what it was. But, I mean, we expected this, especially with Nico at quarterback, to be one of the best offenses in the country. And they have really, really struggled the last few weeks. I mean, you're up there. You're up close to it. What has been the problem with Tennessee, and can they get it right against an Alabama defense that has been a lot more susceptible than usual?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the resistible force against the movable object when you're talking about Tennessee's downfield passing game and Alabama's secondary, because they're both really hurting right now. Yeah, the biggest issue with Tennessee offensively is they haven't been able to protect Iamaliava. And
isn't that a little surprising, you know, with all the experience that they had back?
Yeah. Very much so. I think Lance Hurd was the one guy who wasn't experienced, but he was the guy they got in the portal, the former five-star from LSU, who was a freshman at LSU last year. He's had some disappointing games. John Campbell Sr., who they got in the portal from Miami, he's a seventh-year right tackle. The tackles have just been brutal, and I mean, it's been everything. It's been holding calls. It's been pre-snap penalties. It's been just whiff in the passing game. And so I forget how many times Iamaliava was sacked last week against Florida. I know he was sacked a combined 7 times in the previous 2 games against Oklahoma and Arkansas. And I just think the sacks are kind of getting in his head a little bit. You know, do you rush things a little bit? You're not as comfortable back there. So that has clearly been the issue. The saving grace for Tennessee's offense has been Dylan Sampson. I mean, he has just been fantastic. The guy has, you know, he's 699 yards through 6 games and really gets better as the game goes on. So he's been an absolute saving grace for that offense. But, yeah, if they can't, you know, the penalties have resulted in first and 15s and first and 20s, and that totally takes away Tennessee's frenetic tempo that they like to operate with. These last couple of games, Tennessee has looked nothing like the Tennessee you're used to seeing under Heupel from a tempo standpoint.
Yeah, I don't want to engage in too much hyperbole, David, but I do wonder, I mean, is it realistic to think the loser, I mean, with the games they have left, is Alabama-Tennessee an elimination game for a playoff spot? Because, I mean, there's a mathematical chance at 10-2, but you'd have to run the table after losing this game on Saturday night if you're Alabama or Tennessee to get to 10-2. I think the loser's in a world of hurt
trouble
when it comes to making the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at this as the second elimination game in the SEC. You know, with LSU-Ole Miss, was that the first one, and is this the second one? You know, we've got the possibility of both Alabama and Georgia having 2 losses after this week, which would just be nuts and something that we just have not been used to. But you know what I'm kind of wondering about this whole playoff is I don't know if it's going to be – because everybody kind of panics right now and uses elimination game, and I've been guilty of it too. You know, when you think about the basketball tournament, and I know the basketball tournament is much, much bigger, but we always sit there that last weekend when it's time to select a team, and you're just like, it's almost like, guy, you got to put somebody in there. I mean, it, you know, the resume is not that great. So I do wonder if, like, those last couple of spots will be for teams that are just like, you know, I don't know if they really deserve it or not, but they're 9-3 and they managed to get in. So we'll kind of see. Yes, Tennessee, if they lose this, they're in a world of hurt because they still have to go to Athens, and they haven't, you know, they haven't played well against Georgia, home or away, in many moons. And then if you're Alabama, you know, you still got LSU. It does. It definitely becomes very, very difficult. I still think a 9-3 team from the SEC is going to get in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We talked about that some earlier this week. Missouri, you look at them right now. If they beat Auburn, Alabama is the toughest team they play. They go to Tuscaloosa. If they lose to Alabama and they're 10-2, who have they beaten this year?
Yeah.
I mean, so I wonder if a 10-2 Missouri with losses, blowout loss to Texas A&M, and if Alabama beats them fairly handily, I don't know that a 10-2 Missouri team would get in.
That would be the most interesting 10-2, because I think if Ole Miss wins out at 10-2, they probably do get in. But I thought all along, to your point, Bill, because of those schedules, I thought Missouri and Ole Miss were the two teams that have the least amount of wiggle room. I mean, those teams to me would have no chance at 9-3, because you look at them both and be like, what the heck have y'all done to earn it?
Yep. All right. This weekend, you mentioned LSU Arkansas, and Arkansas is playing much better than anyone had expected early this season. And I agree that with the odds makers, I think this is going to be just like the last few, a very tight one, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Hogs pull it off at home.
I wouldn't either. I just you know, this is where Brian Kelly and LSU, he talked about it on the SEC Zoom call yesterday. This is a veteran team that's been through a lot of these kind of games, so I'm sure they're getting pats on the back in Baton Rouge, but I will slightly just give the edge to LSU in this game. I don't know, you know, you do have the pretty sizable question mark with Arkansas's quarterback. You know, he had that bone bruise on his knee that right. Omar Norman Lott had a low blow and got penalized for roughing the passer. And so, you know, even yesterday, Pittman said he's still not doing everything. He hopes he can play. So that would be a big deal if you don't have him, because he's been, I think, really fantastic. Of course, I saw what may have been his best game against Tennessee, given Tennessee's defense and how well it's playing. So I would just, because of Arkansas's quarterback situation, I would give the slight edge to LSU here.
Yeah, and Justin mentioned the problems Alabama's had defensively, Tennessee having problems offensively, which has been a surprise to a lot of people. The strengths of these teams have been Alabama's offense, Tennessee's defense, and Alabama is amazing. I look at the SEC stats. They run the fewest plays of any team in the league, and they're in the top they're near the top of the SEC in total offense. That tells you how productive they've been when they have the ball. So, I mean, that's going to be a really interesting matchup, that Alabama explosive offense against the Tennessee defense. You know, what are you thinking about this one up in Knoxville?
Yeah, if you look at the three big factors to me, the big one in Tennessee's favor is obviously being inside Neyland Stadium and the noise. And even though that game the other night was kind of a lackluster, you know, Tennessee scoreless in the first half, I mean, it was still one of the louder Neyland atmospheres they've had in a while. So, you know, that is certainly a point in Tennessee's favor. But I think the 2 points in Alabama's favor, I love Milroe's experience over Iamaliava in these type of games. I think that's a big plus on Bama's side. And I also think another big plus in Bama's side is the fact that Tennessee has to move forward the rest of the way without Keenan Peely, their seventh-year senior linebacker, who tore his ACL in the first 5 minutes of that game the other day. I think he was he's not the best piece of that defense, but he was a key piece of that defense, and I think he was a nice reason why they had gotten off to the quick start. So I went Alabama 27-24 in today's paper.
We've gotten pretty deep into this segment without talking about what feels like one of the two or three biggest games.
Oh yeah, that was
the season so far in college football, with the Texas Longhorns welcoming in the Georgia Bulldogs. Seems to me, David, if Texas convincingly wins this one, they feel a tier above everyone else in college football,
especially in the SEC
at the moment. And if Georgia goes and wins that one, then we're kind of back to where we started at the beginning of the season.
Totally agree with everything you just said. You know, you can look, and I do think Georgia has an advantage of, even though they didn't win the game, having already gone into the Alabama environment and had a chance to win, got up late, and then couldn't hold on. I think that does help Georgia in this game. It's kind of a unique dynamic because, you know, Texas lost a couple of really good receivers to the NFL last year. I'll be curious to see how those guys step up at a game like this. Georgia's secondary, they've given up some big plays. I mean, I think we're all shocked that Mississippi State hung 31 on them, and a lot of that was just going over the top against Georgia. So I do think, you know, you don't have Smile Mundon in this game. I know that Tate Ratledge is questionable for Georgia up front. They could certainly use him. I mean, Texas just really has been the most complete team in the country so far. I mean, I don't like their schedule to this point, but they've won every game by, like,
right.
Yeah, I mean, they did go to Michigan, and that was a nice atmosphere for them. But, yeah, they've won every game by 19 or more. They're at home, so I think it's hard to pick Texas. I went Longhorns 31-24 in this one.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one to pick. You're right. I mean, Georgia's going in as an underdog, something that hasn't happened to them in over 3 years. And I do wonder how much last week when they were playing against Mississippi State, how much their defensive guys were really focused on that ball game or looking ahead to this week. I think it's going to be a heck of a ball game. If it's not, like Dan said, if Texas wins this ball game convincingly, then yeah, I think there is definitely a step between them and the rest of the SEC for sure.
And you're starting to look, I mean, I think the big thing, you know, like we've talked about, what happens if the two home UT teams win? You're going to be looking at Alabama and Georgia not only with two losses, but two
right.
league losses. And, I mean, how used to we are we to seeing either Alabama or Georgia or both in the title game, and there could be the very real possibility that neither one of them makes it. I mean, what if we're looking at a Texas A&M, you know, game around Thanksgiving, and then a week later in the conference championship?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's one of the things, and it is crazy. We've talked about it a good bit this week. All the concerns that there were, and look, I'm not a huge fan of the way the current state of college football, the way it is with the transfer portal and everything else. But it has sure made games the season more interesting. This combined with this 12-team playoff, you really have no idea. I mean, usually by this point, you've got a really good idea who are the odds-on favorites to be in. Even with 12, I have no idea. I think everybody in the top 25 still feels like they've got a legit shot of being in the playoff.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been anti-expansion, I've been anti-conference realignment, all this stuff. But, yeah, it's undeniable. The inventory, I mean, the fact that, I mean, last Saturday night, you could have watched Tennessee, Florida, you could have watched LSU, Ole Miss, and you could have watched Ohio State, Oregon. I mean, you talk about having that channel changer on high, you know, high speed there, and then you just think about this doubleheader this week with Bama, Tennessee, and Georgia, Texas. The inventory of games has been incredible, and it is different. I mean, if you are an Ole Miss fan, you are 5-2. You have lost two games where you had the ball in the fourth quarter with the lead and couldn't finish a team off. And so of all the fan bases, right? I made this point in a column earlier this week. You could argue that in the SEC right now, your two truly happy fan bases right now are Texas and Vanderbilt. But because of where we are in this landscape, you know, you could argue that Ole Miss may be the most frustrated given how everything was set up for them to have a big year with Jackson Dart back, the improvements you've made on the up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage through the portal, the fact your schedule was manageable. But if you're Ole Miss, you're not out of it yet, and in any other year, they'd be out of it.
The team that loses in Columbia, Missouri on Saturday will probably have an argument for most frustrated fan base in the SEC as well. Auburn, it would be loss number 5,
yeah,
for Hugh Freeze.
Lost number 4 in a row.
And for Missouri, you know, it's really tough to imagine a path where they navigate, you know, they're able to achieve expectations relative to the preseason if they drop a home game to this Auburn team.
But, you know, there's so many of them. I mean, it's fair that you just brought up. But think about Kentucky's fan base right now. They're sitting there 3-3. You know, and they've had 10-3 seasons. They've had a couple of 10-3 seasons under Stoops, but now they're really getting accustomed to those. You know, can we add up 6-6 and go to a bowl game? You think about South Carolina, how many tough losses they've had. They're sitting there 1-3 in the league. They haven't had a winning league record in 7 years. I mean, there are just so many teams that in the league now seem to be on kind of a spin cycle where. I just think there's a lot of frustration. And, of course, we live in a day and time where you get frustrated quicker and you get antsier quicker. But I just think way more – I mean, even up the road in Knoxville. I mean, Tennessee was sitting there fourth in the country a couple of weeks ago, and now they can't score in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so what are you thinking about the matchup of the Tigers in Como?
I picked Missouri 24-19. Just Missouri being at home, I still just don't know what you get with Auburn and the quarterback situation with Thorne. I don't think Missouri's nearly the team they were a year ago. I think Cody Schrader's I think he brought a lot of intangibles, making him tough to replace. And so, I went with the safe pick, I guess, taking Missouri at home.
Well, it's hard not to. I mean, I think what Auburn has to do right now, they're in the show me state and they need to show. That they have made changes here during the open date and headed down the stretch. They can, but they should have up to this point. So I think that makes perfect sense. Dave, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you've got going.
Will do. Real quick, though, the show me state, having driven through that a couple of times, I must be driving through the wrong part because I'm not seeing the good.
Yeah, well, they need to. Yeah, so they should show you.
Exactly.
Sounds like David said enough.
TimesFreePress.com and WGOW.com. Times Free Press, obviously, for the articles, and WGOW's our sport talk show from 2 to 5 Central every day.
You're going to be in Knoxville?
I am going to be in Knoxville. Looking forward to a 3:30 Eastern kickoff.
Tennessee
played 5 night games in a row, and I'm tired of them.
Yeah, you'll get home but at a decent hour. Great stuff. Thanks again, David. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next time.
You guys do the same. Always enjoy it.
Before we take a break, I think Justin's going to go head down to cover.
Yeah, I need to go down.
Oh, yeah. Well, then let everybody know about the Observer, what Absolutely. You got and how folks can take advantage.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check it out. A lot of basketball this week from SEC Media Days, previewing the Missouri game as well. Dan and I did a podcast breaking down all things Auburn-Missouri this week. Huge mailbag tomorrow covering both sports, and I'm going to be in Columbia this weekend. We will have post-game observations and a podcast from that as well. So auburnobserver.com, sign up there, $6 a month, $60 a year. Jump on it now because the basketball, if you're really interested in basketball, we're going to have a lot of it coming here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen till the end of the most recent podcast.
I don't know about that.
Did. What, Dan finally gets something in there at the end?
Oh, he usually gets something here in the end, but this was the most like off-the-wall thing we've ever done. But, yeah, no, I'm going to head on down to the court and get my spot set for a tip-off at Toomer's. I appreciate you guys letting me hang out today, and hopefully y'all get to enjoy a little bit more before I head out.
Looking forward to it, Ferg. Great stuff.
Appreciate it, Justin.
All right, we'll get to our next break. Love for you to join us up here at the War Eagle Supper Club downtown atop the Graduate. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're right back with more.
Born and raised in Lee County, Samantha Copeland is running to be our next district court judge. A proud graduate of Beauregard High School and Auburn University, Samantha Copeland is an experienced...
And 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan, our thanks to Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer being with us here as we're coming to you from the new War Eagle Supper Club. Yes, that is a name famous in Auburn lore, and what a fabulous new setting we have for the War Eagle Supper Club here atop the Graduate right downtown. And we're very pleased to be joined by Chris Pirro, Director of Food and Beverage here. Chris, man, what great digs you got here.
We're excited, man. And I think one of the best things about this is, like, you get to watch the game from up here as well. We got a direct view of the stadium.
Sure.
You can actually listen to the game from here. When they do the flyovers come right over the hotel.
Well,
so
as a matter of fact,
a heck of a setup.
I saw Rick Smith, the voice, the PA voice. He was downstairs getting ready for the provost meeting a little while ago. So,
well, I've heard him quite a few times
working here.
We're here every Saturday rocking and rolling.
The Haley Center is blocking our view of the press box from this from this patio. But we are, you know, it's right there.
Absolutely.
where we can sit. And we've been talking a lot about the cosmetic, the atmosphere here. The patio is gorgeous. The way you guys have sort of married nostalgic and contemporary on the inside. I think it's a really cool looking establishment here. You're also incredibly proud of your menu.
Yeah, I mean, look, our menu's great, and, you know, this menu and this building, everything we do here is really about not only just the school, but about the whole community of Auburn and Opelika, right? Look, we have so many people coming in saying, man, we were here 20 years ago, blah, 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 and it's like, this feels good. It feels awesome. It feels like we've ingratiated ourselves into the community rather than being like an eyesore or being someone who's like sticking out. We're really pumped to be here. Our menu's beautiful. We've got some great cocktails, incredible food. We make almost everything from scratch, and all of our cocktails have a really fun Auburn theme and Auburn vibe, like our War Damn Eagle spicy margarita. We match the color orange of that with our habanero carrot salsa to match the orange.
Yeah,
it's got a little bit of kick.
I let my wife was trying that. She brought it up.
No,
Leche de tigre.
Yeah. The tiger's milk. Oh, it's awesome, man. That's actually a 3-day process on that cocktail.
Is that right?
A 3-day process, and that'll change seasonally for us right now. Right now, we've got one with red wine, a little bit of hibiscus to kind of give it some of that that kind of pink vibe as well.
Mm-hmm. I would be, just based on how this place looks, I would imagine you guys are interested in event space as well.
I mean,
this would be a perfect place
to
have an Auburn-related event, whether it's inside or on this incredible patio.
So right now where we're sitting, guys, this is called The Nest. As you can tell, we have The Nest right here that overlooks the stadium. This whole Nest area that seats about 25, 35 people can be rented. We have a PDR over there as well with all the War Eagle Supper Club memorabilia. We got guitars and old photos. So come try to find yourself in there, too. It's a lot of fun, man. There's a lot of pictures from old
it's
school.
Scary. I bet I'd find a lot of people.
You might be in a couple of those pictures.
Maybe. Was there a couple of times?
Yeah, we've had some people ask. I mean, it's the fifth floor of the Graduate Hotel. You come on in. Elevator to the fifth floor. You can't miss it. Right outside the right outside the elevator doors. And I mean, you can't miss it. You can't miss it from downtown either. I mean, the view that you guys have of West Mag all the way to
all the way Toomer's Corner, all the way through Sanford and over to the stadium, and then west. It's a tremendous view. Give us a little while. Well, we got just a minute or so. Give us a little bit about the travels of Chris Pirro. What brought you here to Auburn?
Well, I was actually in Chicago the last 4 years. I was an assistant director of food and beverage, and I'd been a chef for the last for about 8 years of my career, and then I started to fall in love with craft cocktail, and then I had my chef experience and my cocktail experience, and then I was a bar director, and then et cetera, et cetera. So I used to live out here when I was stationed in the Air Force back in around 2008, 2009. I was in Montgomery. But I fell in love with Alabama.
He's got a story for you then. You want to go ahead and tell him on the air?
Give it to me.
My dad retired in 2011, but he was in charge of the base at Maxwell.
Small world.
That's the one who signed my letter of reprimand. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
He's probably listening. So he's like,
that Chris Pirro.
A lot of people fall in love with the area from Maxwell Air Force Base.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people, retirees, or people who are stationed here when they're younger and return to the area later in life. But that's a pretty common story of someone who, you know, if your first exposure to Central Alabama was through the military, it might not be your last stop in Central Alabama.
I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I'm originally from California Bay Area, and Cali kid. It is what it is, but. I just fell in love with the area and fell in love with the people. And then, to have an opportunity to give back to the people and to be a part of this and to grow the community, what an experience and what a pleasure. And I'm really honored to be here.
Well, we're really glad that we had a chance to be here, to meet you, and love the ideas that you have. These cocktails are fabulous.
Thank you. We appreciate
I mean, everything about them is really, really impressive. I mean, I'd strongly encourage anybody, haven't been here too long. So there are quite a few folks that haven't had the opportunity to come by. And I'd encourage anyone to come on.
Well, we were talking about, I mean, we're here in part to get the word out, and we're seeing this crowd here on the patio, and it feels like, you know, mission accomplished. There are a lot of people. You know, this is a good-looking crowd with tip-off at Toomer's starting in just about an hour or so.
Oh, we're excited. And there's a great view of tip-off at Toomer's here. We've got a lot of concert space going on. I mean, it's going to be a fun time. And if you're here, the whole point is to have fun at the end of the day, right? Have fun, have some good drinks, eat some good food, enjoy the view.
Can't think of a better place with a better view and ever better atmosphere than here at the Warrior Supper Club. Chris, it's a pleasure to be here, and you heard that radio voice that he's got.
I mean, so he's a pro.
So I mean, you know, if we're looking for authority times, we may give you.
Yeah,
I got a face for radio. Don't worry about that.
That's what brought up a lot of
occasionally, one of us is out of town. Good to know we can work Chris into the into the rotation. Are you a Bay Area sports guy? Or are you?
So I'm a huge Bay Area sports guy. Right. I actually went to the University of Arkansas. So
you've just been all over.
Oh, I love it. I fell in love with the SEC.
Cal and Arkansas. You got two teams that have beaten Auburn so far.
You know, I grew up a Cal Bears fan, and then when they were here, I was a little uneasy about them winning. I was like, doggone, that stinks. But it was hard for me.
The folks were so good.
I couldn't have been happier for the Cal fans who traveled, though. Right. I mean,
they traveled
for a
well.
They really did. I was surprised.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that's Justin, who just left, is an enormous Warriors fan.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I mean, he'd be happy to.
I used to
talk
go to the Oracle Arena back when it was like $8 to watch them play. When
back,
Trell Sprewell was still playing for him. And Don Nelson,
Baron Davis days. Fear
the Beard, man. 2007. That was awesome.
Great stuff, Chris. Again, we really appreciate the opportunity being here, and we want to encourage anybody to come out. So
we appreciate it, guys.
Can folks find the Warrior Eagle Supper Club social media? You know, looking around on that, and ways to order. Yeah,
we do. We have a War Eagle Supper Club on Facebook. We've got War Eagle Supper Club on Instagram. We're working on some other avenues. We also have our website up. But most importantly, I want to announce that we're in a next week or so going to have our merch sales fully ready to go. So
yes.
A lot of those War Eagle Supper Club shirts and hats and pint glasses, those are coming back, guys. We've had a lot of encouragement for that, and we're pumped to give this back.
Just in time for the holiday season, too.
Holiday season.
I mean, it makes for the hard to shop for Auburn fan. War Eagle Supper Club merch is a really thoughtful.
There's a 30-second commercial right there. Yeah. Chris, thanks a lot. I mean, we got to get to break, but we really appreciate the opportunity being here.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris Pirro, Director of Food and Beverage here at the War Eagle Supper Club. We'll be right back. Come on in and join us.
Oh, man. NPEC on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Got about 15 minutes or so left here on the Thursday show. What a fun one it's been! I'm really glad that Haley got us set up here with Bud Light, got us downtown.
Yeah, thanks again to our friends at
here,
Bud Light
right here at the Supper Club,
and thanks to Chris Pirro, food and beverage director. Here at the Graduate and the War Eagle Supper Club for helping out with the broadcast today, and yeah, looking forward to a chance to come back here. But if you haven't been to the War Eagle Supper Club, you know, take your earliest opportunity.
I'll tell you what, just to come up here, see the view, see the Eagles Nest. I mean, what a great photo op this is here.
I can't tell you how many people have come up and taken a selfie or taking a picture with the view just since we started doing the show, you know, about an hour and a half ago. It's been a pretty steady stream of folks using that photo opportunity, and you got to come see why.
Oh, absolutely. So come on up when you get a chance. Again, we're really psyched, looking forward to tip off at Toomer's. What a crowd there is in town. I mean, looking, and there is, I just looked over the edge when I walked up just a minute ago, and downtown is full. I mean, it is packed already. All the businesses, you know, all the places to eat and grab a drink are open, and it is entertainment. It's set up as an entertainment district where you can walk in. If you do get something, you can walk out with it and walk around downtown.
What a first-rate event. I hope, and considering that Auburn had to cancel one of these because of a hurricane
weather.
A couple of years ago, Auburn had to cancel a tip-off at Toomer's.
They made up for it today.
Yeah, I mean, this weather
couldn't ask for nicer weather.
Yeah, could not be nicer, and hopefully this is an event that sticks around, because it's a great opportunity, not just for, you know, the fans, but also I think for the men's and women's basketball teams and for downtown merchants to get a big crowd like this. So yeah, this is a really cool night, and hopefully folks can get the chance to it's free. attendance.
Oh, yes, it's absolutely is.
Downtown event. So, pop in and see what see what's going on downtown tonight.
Yeah, and you'll probably run into a few folks that you've seen before as well. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot of folks downtown this evening just enjoying the atmosphere and catch a little basketball. I mean, there's not going to be a ton. We've got a half-court set up here downtown, and there will be you're going to have the men and the women getting out and showing some of their skills. I would imagine I haven't seen the – the plan for as far as, usually there's like a dunk, there's a dunk contest, there's a three-point shooting contest. Don't know if we're going to have that. As Justin was saying a while ago, Ja'Kai Howard, one of the two freshmen on this team, scholarship freshmen on this team, is known as a high flyer and, maybe able to show off some of that ability here. But I'm looking forward to just seeing, there are – five new faces on this team, and along with the six scholarship returnees.
You know what's really cool, just looking around here from the
what's
rooftops,
that?
Bill, is being able to see other rooftops. And
oh yeah, starting
people
to fill up.
Now you see in the crowd. I mean, and this one over here too. On the other side of the stage, like
oh, at the corner. I mean, people are starting to pack in there so they can see
a lot.
But you're
folks.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I hadn't noticed.
It's
that.
Cool. You see little heads, poking. I mean, yeah. So we're not the only ones taken to the, taken to higher ground today. Baseball going on right now. Yankees.
Oh, that's
Yankees
right.
Guardians.
I'd forgotten about
is,
that. What's happening?
You've got the Guardians lead in the bottom of the fifth.
And they need to because they're at home for the first time, trailing 2-0.
That's right. And I'd say the series is back on with the Guardians win
oh,
tonight.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yankees win tonight.
I mean,
what
the Yankees need to do, though, is, like I was talking about with the Dodgers yesterday, but, of course, the Dodgers were tied at 1-1. Yankees get a win in Cleveland, and they're in good shape. So, I mean, they don't have to win tonight. A win tonight would make the Guardians feel much better, though, and feel like they're right back
just,
in it.
Just two hits for the Yankees through five innings. Boyd pitching very well for Cleveland. And then you've got game four in New York.
This
tonight.
One is critical for the Mets tonight.
That's right. New York, the Mets down 2-1, and they are starting Jose Quintana tonight against the Dodgers, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Yeah, so that'll be coming up, and we'll probably have that one on ESPN following the replay of Tiger Talk at 6:00.
Yoshi pitched really well against the Padres in that game where he faced off with Yu Darvish, the deciding game five, and would put the Dodgers in commanding position.
Oh yeah,
tonight
they'd be also, a game away from the series.
Didn't get a chance to mention this. We got to take a break anyway, so I'll, working in real quick. Tony Bennett retiring.
I had not seen that.
Virginia announcing just when we went on the air. The University of Virginia announcing a press conference tomorrow, where it is expected that that Tony Bennett will retire effective immediately tomorrow morning as the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers.
Man, that's a surprise because the season just around the corner. Let's get to the we'll get to the phones and get Clay before we get to our final break of the afternoon. Hey Clay.
Hey Bill and Dan. Now Dan is not probably going to understand this. I'm sure you will, Bill.
What else is new, Clay?
No, he's giving me credit for being young, Dan. Yeah,
you're a youngster, my friend. The it's kind of like going back in time hearing you talk about the War Eagle Supper Club. Are the Velco Pygmies there tonight?
No. There's probably some of their memorabilia around here somewhere.
Is that Wild Man over there?
You're not at the supper club if the Velcro Pygmies are not there. And
they were there for multiple decades at times. Yeah.
It's amazing that back and I'm not super old, but back when I was at school at Auburn, it was kind of like a drive to get out to the supper club. It was like,
oh, you're right. It wasn't even in the city limits.
I don't think.
It may have been barely.
It was a drive to get out there, a shuttle ride home, and then a drive the next day to go get your car.
That's right.
Well, there wasn't any shuttles back when I went to school there. Dano, you might have shuttled, but it wasn't in like a groovy bus type thing.
No, you're right.
But it is. I mean, it's great that they've kept it alive. And I know there's a certain at least one eating establishment that's down there in that area now. And when you go in, they've got a little plaque that this is where the supper club mm-hmm. used to be, and they've got like a little piece of the old building or something. But that was, I mean, for years, I mean, that was the thing. But it was, believe it or not, it was on the outskirts of town. There was nothing
was.
From Shug Jordan.
It was a
back
long ride
interstate.
In, man. It was. You're right. It was a long way in from the club.
That's it. But anyhow, I hope they do well. It sounds. I know it's a beautiful venue because Auburn does everything. Except football, right? So everything is going to be beautiful up there. So, and hopefully we can get that turned around this weekend. But it just brought back an enormous amount of memories from back late 80s, early 90s of the War Eagle Supper Club. But if they're not there, it's not it yet.
I hear you. Yeah, some great. You're absolutely right, Clay. So yeah, Bill, it's Dan and Super Old here as we need to get to our final break.
Great stuff, Clay. Appreciate it.
All right, we will get to the final break of the afternoon. Back to wind things down here on the Thursday Drive.
This is Martha Hank with a.